I heard a praise report last night as I was walking out of the women's prison. There was a gal, and she said, "Last night I gave my testimony. After 24 years in prison," she said, "I was ready to give my testimony." And she's looks like a young lady to me, but obviously she's over 24. Around 42 maybe, I don't know. I would love to hear her testimony. But it thrilled me that she would say that, and she was so tickled. After 24 years here, she must have been, I don't know when they built that place, but she must have been early in it. Or maybe she was another one, I don't know. But, you know, I think that she's probably been testifying for a long time. You know? I think that her life was a testimony. She was one of the people that were setting up the place. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you because it's good news. It is good news. God gives us a testimony, and he gives us place to testify. Depends on what's going on, but we're testifying. I guess we're testifying all the time, one way or another. We all are familiar with Psalm 91. Some of it's more so than others, you know, certain parts. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. If we go there, we'll find rest. It's like an advertisement that says, you know, if you come here, you won't be disappointed. There's a road sign on the way to Rapid City with a guy in it, and it says that exercise makes you look better, so does tequila. I guess that's the eyes of the beholder, you know. But advertisements advertise all kinds of stuff. The Lord advertises here that those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. It's there. "This I declare of the Lord, he alone is my refuge and my place of safety. He is my God and I trust him." I trust him. I trust him. I mean it when I say I trust him. But maybe sometimes I don't. Not that I don't say I don't trust you, Lord. It's that I don't say anything to the Lord and I go on about my own way. And maybe that doesn't reveal that I trust him. I'll say this of the Lord. I'll say it. This is my declaration of the Lord. He is my refuge. He is my refuge. I may be standing out in the middle of the storm looking crazy, but he's my refuge. He's right over there. He's my refuge. He's my place of safety. Oh, we need a safe place. He's my God and I trust him. This is what I say. This is what we say. This is what we should say. Some people's response to what we should say on that would say, "Oh, you're one of those." Absolutely. I am one of those that put my trust in the Lord. Sometimes I have to pick it up from over here and put it my trust in the Lord. But I'm gonna get it there eventually. I'm gonna get it there. When he came to himself, it says one time in the Bible. When he came to himself, we got a glimpse of himself. You know, they didn't have as good of mirrors back then as we do. I think they were a little more blurry, you know. We got real good mirrors. And you know, maybe sometimes we need to go to the mirror and say, "Mirror, mirror on the wall." Oh, mirror on the wall. Sometimes we look at the mirror on the wall and maybe we have one thought of, I wish I wouldn't have looked. But that's, we have a lot of things that go on. We're people, aren't we? We have a lot of things that go on. And we have a lot of things that are correctable, if we're correctable. We can make a course correction with an airplane. If an airplane is off by a little bit, it can end up a long ways off. But somebody down in the thing will say, you're needing a course correction. Maybe you weren't paying attention to the winds, and the wind is blowing you off course, so we're going to correct that course. And, you know, nowadays, radar and all of that, whew, they can do that really, really well. Really correct. Well, it's nothing compared to God. Our course correction is just that quick. And in fact, if we will give him the way, he'll just correct it as we go. And we won't be off. You know, there's just a lot of things that, you know, it's like I read this morning. I don't remember where I read it, but I read it. It probably was in the Bible devotion. And it talked about that Peter denied Jesus. Peter went off course. But Jesus came to him and he took that. And he gave him love. He bore our sins. Oh, praise him. He bore the burden of it. Jesus didn't even want him feeling the shame or the guilt of it. He just came to set him free and say, man, do you love me? And Peter said, well, yeah, I love you. Of course I love you. Okay, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? You know what? There's things that when the Lord says them to us, we have a lot of humanness that goes on with it. And like I said last week, the Lord said, breakthrough is coming. That's good news. Breakthrough is coming. But first I had to decide, what did I need to break through? Did I pray for something I don't remember? Am I going to run into something that I'm going to need to break through? You know, we have those things, but then we come to understand. It's like at a chapel this week, I said, the Lord told me, he said, breakthrough is coming. And I started to talk about it, and he said, well, then that's for us too, right? I said, amen, brother. You've got that. You know, they wanted that. They knew that they needed a breakthrough. And then a truth came out in the midst of that is just the fact that because I had this one guy for like three chapels in a row, you know, he wanted it so bad, but all he could see was this one thing that he needed to get through. He said, we just need to get through this. And I said, I tell you what. What we need to do is we need to break through to the Lord. And then not plan on just this one thing, but consider our life to be a breakthrough. A breakthrough. We have a breakthrough when we find salvation. That's a breakthrough. It's a breakthrough in life when we humble ourselves in the sight of God and receive Christ. That's a breakthrough. And then there's another breakthrough and another breakthrough and another breakthrough, and we keep going through breakthroughs. And as I sought the Lord about this and as I talked about this, I realized that my life has been just a series and a course of breakthroughs. I just didn't call it that. But if the Lord could do this, then he can do this, then he can do this, then he can do this. Use your breakthroughs for the next thing. Use it. You know? It's like when I was young and lifted weights, you know? You break through a weight and you're stronger. What are you using that for? Just so you can say you're stronger? No, you use it, you keep using it in your life. You don't think about it as being a breakthrough, but it is. You know, it's one more. If somebody's coaching you, lifting, one more. Do one more. Do one more. Do one more, you know. And if you're the one doing the lift, you go, wait, you said one more 5 more ago. Yeah, but you can do one more. You can do one more. You can go one more. Because God got you through this. He'll get you through this. So yesterday, he said, do you trust me? Just because the Lord asks if you trust him doesn't necessarily mean he's accusing you of not trusting him. But humanness goes, why are you asking me if I trust you? You know? How many years do you serve the Lord before you've got it? Your whole life. One of the guys asked me, he said, so how old were you when you got saved? I said, I was 30. Well, how old are you now? I said, well, I'm going to be 69. Well, I'm 30 now. I said, perfect age. That's how old Jesus was when he started his ministry too. And he just sort of, all right. He's sitting there, he looks at all the other guys in the pod. He said, this is another kind of party. I said, man, this guy talks my language. A breakthrough. I said, that's a breakthrough. You wouldn't have said that a month ago. That's a breakthrough. But the Lord said, do you trust me? And I said, yeah, Lord. He said, how come you get agitated? What's that got to do with me trusting you, Lord? I just asked him, why do you get agitated? And if you're agitated long enough, you get aggravated. Why do you do that? Well, maybe I don't trust you quite quick enough. Maybe I never thought that those things have anything to do with trusting the Lord. Well, that's a fine way to start a trip to Pier. with him kindly, just, you can have this education, you know. Well, you see, I had sort of been through that a little bit earlier in the morning because Vicki had the irises, and the irises you couldn't see for the grass that was growing up in and amongst them. And every now and then I would catch her over there trying to pull that grass, and I would say, honey, I don't think you need to do that right now. Well, I wasn't bending over. I was sitting down. You saw me. I was sitting down. I said, yeah, but you're reaching and pulling. I'm not positive. I don't know. I just don't know. And I was doing something else, and I looked at those, and I thought, well, there's one way for her to quit doing that. I'll go and pull those. So I'm pulling them, and I started out pulling them. Well, I suppose I better pull these. And then I decided I probably better enjoy it while I do it, or it's going to be for naught. And I became quite gifted at pulling those. I started learning new ways. Yeah, it doesn't make any difference. But, you know, it was like I didn't get every, believe me, I didn't get every blade out of there, but you can see the irises now, and I worked at them. And so I had already dealt with a little bit of a way of, you know, if you're agitated or aggravated when you're doing something, it just isn't necessarily a fun thing, you know? And because we have the Lord, we've got an advantage. And we can do it as heartily unto the Lord. So I'd already sort of done something like that, but apparently I was becoming proud about it or something, because the Lord just said, okay, do you trust me? If you trust me, then you turn to me. You know? In this world, you'll have tribulation. Troubles will come. Remember, back a while ago, we talked about the fact that we can have troubles without being troubled. We don't have to let something troubling turn into trouble for us. So, do you trust me? And after I was a little bit comfortable with that, then he said, will you trust me? So now then you got to have a little humanness come in again and think about, okay, what's going on? You're asking me if I will trust you. What's coming up? You know? But there doesn't have to be something coming up. There doesn't have to be. He doesn't ask questions like that to see if we can get afraid about it, you know? But still, you know, because we just got through with, do you trust me? And we sort of got that ironed out. And I says, but will you trust me? See, because I can say of the Lord, he is my rock and my refuge. He's my God. In him I will trust. I can say that. But then when I get out there where I need to trust him, will I trust him? I trust him now. I trust him. I'm right here. I trust him. I trust him. If I didn't trust him, I couldn't come here because I trust him to have something to say to you that would be beneficial to all of us. Otherwise, there isn't any sense in us gathering. If God doesn't have something, then you got less than nothing coming from here. I've known that since the beginning. If God doesn't show up, there's nothing. Oh, I need you, Lord. And sometimes I say to him, sometimes I'll say, Lord, I hope that I'm not just taking you for granted, but I plan on you having something, and I've just got to trust you because my mind's got nothing. But I can say, I trust the Lord. I trust the Lord. You better believe, I do. I trust the Lord. But will I trust the Lord here and here and here? The thing that I've come to understand from that is the fact of that just because I say I trust him here, I'm going to need to trust him here. And I need to realize that everything involves trusting in the Lord. Blessed are they who put their trust in the Lord. Trusting God is not just for giant things that we would consider giant. Peter just plain said, I don't know the man. It just came out of his mouth. And apparently the first time it didn't trouble him because the next time they said, weren't you with them too? Nope, I'm not with them. Just came out of his mouth. And then the third time he said, I told you, I don't know the man. It just came out of his mouth. And a chicken pointed out to him the oops. Did he trust the Lord? Well, he had a little breakdown there. After all, the Lord was arrested, which made it look like things are not turning out the way that I had planned. Can I tell you, our plans are not always going to work out. They just aren't. But when they aren't working out, God has not stopped working. So like to inmates, I can talk to them about the stack, their record. You know, some of them have big files, several folders. And when it's time for them to be sentenced, the judge goes through that and he's got sentencing guidelines. And so they've been scoring points for years. And so if they've got so many points, he has to assign them this much. He has some latitude, but there are sentencing guidelines, rules that they follow. And so they've got that. So these guys have that stack always there to remind them. And what I've tried to encourage them to do is understand that God does not look at that stack one bit. And if we'll take our mind off of that stack, whether it's what somebody did to us or whether it's what happened or whether it's what we lost or whatever it is, if we'll take our mind off that stack and we'll look over here, we find this ginormous stack of God's good plans for us. And that's in that stack of whatever is just and pure and lovely and of good report and are worthy of praise. Think on these things, God said. Think on these things. Think on these things. Leave those things there. They're there. But think on what God has for us. That's part of trusting the Lord. Men will fail you, systems will fail you, all kinds of things will fail you, friends will fail, all kinds of stuff will go on, but blessed are they who put their trust in the Lord. And so God said, do you trust me? Well, I have no reason ever to not trust him. Because he brought me from here to 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 here. I believe he's got good plans for me. But can we run into bumps in the road? Can we hit obvious detours? Can we run into deviations? Can we run into... Do we run into things that we have every excuse to just... Of course we can. And God absorbs those. He doesn't. It isn't like, oh, you have let me down. I am so disappointed in you. Never. He never is. I love to think about that fact because it just always amazes me. You're never going to let me down. You're never going to let me down. You're never going to, you just can't do it. I don't know how you do what you do, Lord, but you do it. I mean, obviously, we can just take Jesus and Peter's interaction and look at it and say, my goodness, there is no limit. Jesus had just come through crucifixion and off the cross. Not one bit of hesitation and just going to Peter and, you know, he wanted to get Peter fixed right away. He wanted him to be free of guilt and shame. He wanted to get him back where he was supposed to be, and so he just came and he said, do you love me? Do you love me? I think the first time that maybe wasn't much of a relief. You know what I mean? I think that when he asked him, do you love me, to Peter it was like saying, you said you love me. You said you'd follow me to the end. You said you'd die for me, and you denied me three times, you know? But Jesus wasn't vindictive when he said, do you love him? There was such passion and such compassion and such comfort in his words that, you know, I mean, it's like, I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Now, he's trying to get Peter comfortable with the foundation thing. Jesus knew Peter loved him. He knew it. No matter how much you may mess up, and how much there would be no evidence that you love or even know God sometimes, that doesn't knock him off track one little bit. He'll just come back and say, look, do you love me? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. So do you? There's no ulterior motive from the Lord. You don't have to go thinking, I guess I must not if he's asking me. You just need to, it turns your attention to the right thing. I love him. I love him poorly maybe sometimes, but I love him. I love him. Do you trust me, Roger? Absolutely, I trust you. Okay, will you trust me? I'm not sure how many miles out of town. I'm out of town, and I see in front of me this tractor with all of its equipment behind it. I see it going. I see it going. I see car. I see the car go around it. I see it going. I'm coming up. I'm ready to go around it. And all of a sudden, that thing swings to the right and back across in front of me. Yes, I do trust you, Lord. And I will trust you, Lord. Because I was in the other lane to head around him when all of a sudden he decided to do that. And it wasn't even close. It was like my car backed up. I don't know. You know, it's like I'm just looking. I'm going, what's he thinking? Doesn't matter. But I thanked the Lord and I said, I trust you, Lord. Blessed are they who put their trust in the Lord. I looked at that and I said, well, that's a great opportunity there, Lord. That's a good one. Do you trust the Lord? Will you trust the Lord? And if you find yourself where you're telling yourself that your trust was sneaking out the window, don't give up. Don't give in. Just start to praise the Lord again. House of the Rising Sun says, I've got one foot on the platform and the other foot on the train. Last night, the Lord encouraged me to say to the ladies, some of you are here with one foot on the platform and one on the train. God wants you to just get on the train. Some of you are busy and you're trying to be distracted, but God is speaking to you. Just go ahead and get on the train. Some of you have tears in your eyes and God's doing something in your life. Don't stand around on the platform. I'm not sure what God did, but all of a sudden in the midst of everything, it was like everyone, there were 70 or 80 girls there, and at least everyone that I could see or heard, they all of a sudden were on their feet and shouting and praising Jesus. Something happened. Something happened. And something happened, and I think something happened over here on my right, and I think somebody in the middle looked and saw something happen on the right, and they wanted it too. And then all of a sudden, the whole crew on the left stood up, and then they were just excited. And I didn't know what about. And I don't know that they knew what about. But I heard one girl going out and saying, man, that was fun. God was good. It doesn't have anything to do with me. It has to do with God and them. And they experienced the presence of the Lord in a new and greater way. Because every time we experience the presence of the Lord, it's new. And it's great. Don't allow yourself to just be unresponsive to the presence of the Lord. Don't let your trust and your zeal for the Lord sneak out the window. Don't get into a place where, well, you think that you know. Because you don't. Because we don't. We don't know everything. We just don't. I don't want to ever get to the place where the Lord says something to me like, do you trust me? And I think, oh yeah, I've been through that. Because if he asks me again on the way to Peter today, so do you trust me? I'm going to be like, okay, show me where I'm not. What's going on? What's going on? Because he might just say, I'm just asking. Just conversation. You know, God likes conversation. Don't get so messed up by it. Just have the conversation. This, I say of the Lord, he's my God. I trust him. God bless you. God bless all those who gave their lives for this great nation. Don't give up on this nation. Because God is greater. Don't let a few yapping dogs cause you to think that they're a pack of powerful dogs. They're just dogs. They haven't seen anything yet. God, he is our God, and we trust him. Amen? Lord, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, that you not only bore our sins, but you bear our mess up since our sins. And you don't have any problem handling them. You don't have any problem helping us if only we will trust you and look to you, who you are the author and the finisher of our faith. You are able to complete the good work you've begun in us. I pray, Lord, that there would not be anyone who just hangs out with one foot on the platform and one on the train, but that they will get up and come home to you in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.